University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. Hello and welcome. My name is David Stouffer and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the UMSL College of Education. Each week on this podcast, we will meet an innovator in the field of education. We will spend some time getting to know them and learning about their work and how it can help you and yours. It is my sincere hope that this podcast will be a source of encouragement and support as you work to continue impacting lives as an educator. My guests, plural today, are Antoinette Sterling, Julie Moore, and Harry Harris. Ms. Sterling is Senior Academic Advisor for the College of Business Administration, specializing in the Bachelor of Sciences in International Business and Management. Ms. Moore is a Senior Academic Advisor for the Bachelor's of Social Work Program. And Mr. Harris serves as the Director of the TRIO Program here at UMSL. They all three share another very important role here at UMSL. They serve or have served in leadership roles with the Black Faculty and Staff Association. The purpose of the Black Faculty and Staff Association is to assist the University of Missouri St. Louis in accomplishing its mission as an urban institution by addressing the concerns and issues identified by Black faculty, staff, and students, and to establish an effective line of communication between UM St. Louis administration and these groups. Further, to work toward greater participation of Black employees in the decision-making process of the campus shared governance model. Welcome everyone to Triton Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't tell you how excited I have been in anticipation of this conversation, and I'm very, very, very happy that you're here with me today. As with most of the Triton Talk episodes, I want to start off getting to know you a little bit better, give you a chance to share about your career journey and what ultimately brought you to UMSL, and more about your current role here at UMSL. Ms. Sterling, let's start with you.
All right. Well, thank you, David. It's indeed a pleasure and an honor to be a guest on your program today. And so I want to start off by saying that you asked me about my career in higher education, and so I would want to say that as a child I always enjoyed being in an educational setting. And so let's see, I'm originally from Texas, and I graduated a while ago from Westbrook High School.
Okay.
And I want to say that our school was the first school to, we went through a desegregation program in Beaumont, Texas, and so I, for a while, attended Lamar University.
Okay.
And transferred to, left Texas and moved to Missouri. So I had a cousin attending Missouri State,
I'm a graduate.
Which was formerly called Southwest Missouri State.
That's when I was, it was Southwest Missouri State when I was there.
I transferred in with several hours, so I can empathize with students who are transfer students, and majored in French and minored in communications. And I can remember being a senior, and getting ready to graduate, and someone encouraged me, a track coach, encouraged me to continue my education. We were having a casual conversation with another student, and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about working on your master's degree?" And I said, I said, "Tell me a little bit more." And so by the end of the conversation, I thought, yeah, I think I want to pursue my master's, because I felt I wasn't, I still wanted to learn. I had that desire to continue my education. And during that time, I also was able to connect with our Multicultural Resource Center on campus. I was able to secure a graduate assistantship in the Multicultural Resource Center, working with diverse student groups.
And this is all at Missouri State?
All at Missouri State. Charlotte Hardin was the director of the Multicultural Resource Center at that time, and I mention her name because she was indeed a mentor for me and a mentor for students. She empowered students to make decisions and believed in students, and so almost any student who has graduated almost from Southwest Missouri State really knows Chardon, Charlotte Hardin. And so I served as a graduate assistant for 2 years working with diverse groups, and then decided upon graduation that, you know what, I really enjoy working at a university. Why not apply for a position in advising? Mm-hmm. I applied for the position in the College of Education.
Good.
Did not get the position.
Sorry.
at that time. And I began working part-time jobs, and I thought, well, you know what, if I don't find a position in Missouri, I'm returning back home to Texas. And so right before I was about to leave for Texas, I received a call from someone at Missouri State, and they said, hey, guess what, there's another position open in advising, and we would like for you to come back. It hasn't been 6 months since you applied for the position. This position is open, and so we're offering you the position.
This
are
was
you
back
interested?
In the College of Ed there?
College of Education.
Okay.
And so my first job, I began as a professional education advisor in the College of Education, serving, we had over maybe 1,000 education, elementary, middle school, special education majors, early childhood education majors, and so I cut my teeth on 300 advisees back at Missouri State.
And how long were you at Missouri State then as an advisor?
Almost 10 years.
Wow.
And I also taught their freshman survey, freshman first year course.
Yeah.
And I was also teaching at, I think academic advisors wear multiple hats and they might have two or three jobs. I was also teaching at a Ozark Technical Community College at the same time. And so I love a variety of duties.
Mm-hmm.
Make a long story short, 2005, I moved to St. Louis and worked as an adjunct at one of the community colleges in 2006, began working in the Center for Student Success, met Harry Harris.
Oh, good.
I served as a student, development coordinator, which essentially was academic advising and academic coaching combined into one position.
Okay.
That particular office underwent several different changes, and so 2013, the office morphed into the student retention services. I became a retention coordinator, which was essentially academic coaching. Since then the office evolved and changed, and back in, I'll jump over to 2022, I began working as a senior academic advisor in the College of Business. But let me back up a little bit. 2013, I went through the cohort doctoral program, completed my doctorate in higher education, my EdD in 2016.
And fantastic. So it's Dr. Antoinette Sterling then.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And so I think the doctorate has informed my practice and just gives me a broader perspective somewhat of advising and how to support students.
Wonderful. Well, if you ever are looking to come back to education, you know, hey, just saying, we'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we don't love our current advising staff, or they hear me say that, they're probably going to be upset with me and think I'm trying to get rid of somebody, but I am not,
connection.
I promise.
David, I'm teaching an advising course this semester in the College of Education.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's full circle.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sterling, for that introduction. It's a pleasure. Julie Moore, please tell us a little bit about your journey and your role here at UMSL.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor to be here alongside you and my colleagues here, Harry Harris and Dr. Antoinette Sterling, who have been a great support for me throughout my time here at UMSL. So I'm thankful to be here along with them, and grateful to work with you as well, David.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm a senior academic advisor, as you said, here at UMSL with the School of Social Work for the Bachelor's of Social Work program, which is a undergraduate program. So my journey in higher education really started off when I was in undergraduate, when I was an undergraduate student at Webster University. I had a couple classes that I was struggling with. One of them was economics, which I needed to work with a tutor more regularly. In that class, I had a really good tutor who showed me some different ways and, you know, how to take notes and how to answer my own questions as I was studying, but also kind of helped me to organize, you know, my time and also organize my notes. So I was really amazed by the skills that she helped me develop, you know, because I started doing really well, you know, not only in the economics class, which was a tough class, but in all my other classes. So that opportunity to work with her really helped, you know, enhance my learning skills, but also gave me the passion to continue to learn, because I was doing very well and really my grades had turned around. That particular time, I also started thinking that it may be also time for me to start thinking about maybe graduate school when I finish my degree, you know, once I'm done at Webster University. So through working with her, she also encouraged me to become a tutor. So I myself ended up becoming a tutor for economics and then, you know, accounting, both classes that I loved. I loved so much, and I also loved working with students, but I also loved to see the results that the students were getting, which was very similar to what I was getting. So when it came to thinking about graduate school, I decided that I wanted to continue to be in a learning environment where I can still continue to learn, but also continue to help others how to learn. So for graduate school, after completing my degree in business administration, I decided that I wanted to go into higher education administration for my master's degree. So I actually came here to UMSO, the College of Education, for my degree in the master's in higher education here at UMSO. Throughout the time here at UMSO, I worked as a graduate assistant, as a graduate intern for the Student Affairs and Leadership, which I was in the Student Retention Services up here at UMSO. So again, I met Dr. Antoinette Sterling and sat right across from Mr. Harry Harris here, both who have been very, very supportive. They really took me under their wing and kind of showed me around the ins and out of, you know, higher education. But just having someone that you could come in and, you know, ask some questions or just learn about UMSO, you know, that was really a great opportunity for me to have here at UMSO. So I've been very, very lucky with my journey here at UMSO. You know, with the College of Education, I had great advisors and also great professors who also, you know, challenged me to think about the ways how higher education can be impactful. So, you know, I worked very closely with my advisor, who I highly respect, Dr. Woodhouse. She's actually the associate dean for, you know, the College of Education. So again, through her guidance, she really taught us a lot of different ways in how to support students, you know, how to conduct research that supports student learning, but also student services. Also worked very closely with the late Dr. Boyer, who was also one of the professors that also challenge us how to critically think, but also how to position ourselves, you know, as higher education specialists. How would we challenge in terms of, you know, increasing access for others, creating opportunities for higher education for others? So again, my experiences through, you know, the UMSO Student Retention Services and through the College of Education, you know, really helped me recognize that AMSO was best suited for me as an academic advisor, but I also wanted to give back what my advisors and my fellow colleagues had given me, you know, to others through service. So that's kind of how I ended up as an advisor here at the School of Social Work.
Fantastic. Thank you. Mr. Harris, please tell us a little more about you and your journey and your current role.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having us here. I'm kind of homegrown talent from the area. I grew up just, you know, 10 minutes up the road here in Hazelwood, and just always really liked school, always enjoyed learning, was a big reader, things like that. So when I went to college, you know, was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was a psych major, graduated with a psych degree from Truman State University, and I learned there and in my journey there that being in higher ed and working in higher ed was an actual career. Like, you just didn't know it. And so once I learned that, and I had some great mentors at Truman who helped lead me to the field, I then applied for and got into Bowling Green State University in Ohio. They have one of the best higher ed programs, and earned a degree in college student personnel there. Met my wife there, and once a slight detour to University of Illinois in residence life, where I certainly learned that maybe, you know, long term residence life wasn't going to be for me. We ended up settling back here in the St. Louis area, and I worked for a little while at University Meadows, did some more housing here, so that was kind of my step into the world of UMSL, which ironically I just had not really had a lot of experience, even though I had always lived so close. And eventually applied for a job with our general advising office at the time. And that's where I remember sitting in on Antoinette's interview. So we worked together for quite a while there. And eventually, I had the opportunity to become the first coordinator of academics for the athletics department. So for probably about 10, 11 years, I worked with our athletics department on the academic side of things. I was very proud of the work we did there. We really increased our GPA there. We really got our student athletes into a focus on the academic side of things. Our coaching staff did a great job with that, and I think we made a lot of improvements there. Eventually I moved over to the College of Nursing, where I became an advisor and an assistant director there, and you know, we did a lot of great things there. We have a great nursing program. We're really turning out some of the best folks to be in the hospital, and being there, you know, each step of the way you learn a little something. So I really learned the grueling schedule of our athletes and what they go through in that experience. And then, you know, to go over to the College of Nursing, learning so much about what they have to put into their degree, it certainly made me, when I would go to a hospital or I'd go to a doctor's office for a visit, you know, I was checking out badges. I wanted to see, where'd you go? Where'd you get your degree from? You know, things like that. So you learn a lot in those positions, and more recently, this past October, I became the director for our TRIO program. For those who aren't familiar, TRIO is a federally funded grant program that's aimed to kind of take away the barriers for students who are coming from a low-income background, who are first-generation, or who have a disability. So we're honored to serve up to 140 students every year, and we really just help, like I said, remove all those barriers. We have workshops, we have opportunities for them to get out and have cultural experiences, things that maybe they wouldn't have the chance to explore and do. We have some great coaches on our staff to help just keep everything moving in the right direction, is what I tell folks. And that's been just such an incredible experience, and meeting some great folks there too. So I've been on campus for I've been working for UMSL for a little over 20 years now, mm-hmm. so I've definitely seen a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. The building we're in was kind of first opened when I first got here, so you know, it's just all these things. I sometimes just stop and look around like, wow, that building wasn't there, mm-hmm. or you know, the pond wasn't there, or you know, we moved, you know, just different things around. And so I think UMSL has had a lot of great growth yeah. over the years, and it's just fun to sometimes sit and kind of reflect on that.
Yeah, in a few years there's going to be some more buildings that are not here anymore and new buildings that are here for the first time mm-hmm. with our current growth.
It's always
model.
Evolving.
It's always evolving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to see the evolution of your careers and how what you're doing now is so uniquely different than what you started doing. And I wonder if we could go back in time and you could tell your younger selves, by the way, in 2024, you're going to be doing this, how you would react. You might not have ever thought that you'd be where you are right now, but that's just a testament to you and the great work you do. And I couldn't be more happy and thankful that you all are doing that work here at UMSL, so thank you. I want to talk now about the Black Staff and Faculty Association. Ms. Sterling, as the president of the Black Faculty and Staff Association, I wanted to see if you could share with us the mission, the purpose. Why does the BFSA exist? What role does it serve here? And also, what's going on currently in the Black Faculty and Staff Association? What are we doing as an organization to help improve and make an impact on our campus?
All right. Well, thank you. This is my second semester serving as president, and prior to serving as president, I served as the vice staff, maybe the vice staff president or vice, okay.
Vice staff president.
President
of staff, yeah.
Vice
there you
go. President staff. Of staff.
Vice yeah. president of staff. Thank you. So, so with my, thank you for my, thank you for pointing that out. And then I'll back up and say, when 2006, when I first began working at the university, I was introduced to the Black Faculty Staff Association. And so I would attend meetings and sit in on meetings, and it was a vehicle, a way for me to get to know other Black faculty and staff on campus. And so, it's a pleasure working with my colleagues on the Black Faculty Staff Association. And so our mission is to serve as a vehicle for Black faculty, staff, and students as a vehicle to meet, to communicate. We serve as advocates for Black faculty and mm-hmm. staff. There's a need for Black faculty, staff, students to get together and just communicate and to see what's going on in each other's departments. Mm-hmm. We serve as a resource for new and prospective faculty and staff. We disseminate information for growth and development, professional development for faculty, staff, and students. And we serve as advocates in matters relating to employment, tenure, fair treatment, and access to opportunities at the university. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of this year, I think that the executive board and the members, we've had opportunities, first of all, to come together at the beginning of the year. We planned an event called the Back to Campus, or it's a gathering in August where we get a chance to fellowship with each mm-hmm. with each other beginning in August. And then we also host monthly meetings where we have discussions about different issues that are important. We celebrate each other's successes. We talk about challenges that we're each facing. There are opportunities for faculty and staff to discuss their research opportunity. Harry was instrumental in creating the Jerome Morris Lecture Series, and so we invite a faculty member to come to host and discuss their research. And so this year, Dr. Jason Vassar-Elong, presented research on his curriculum and other areas of research. And then in December, typically we have a holiday celebration mm-hmm. where we come together, we eat, we fellowship, and we get a chance to spend some time with each other, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As people of color. Yeah. In January and February, throughout, let's see, so there's a Martin Luther King celebration. I know that Harry has participated in many of the Dr. Martin Luther King celebration events. In February, we host a panel discussion, the African American History Panel Discussion, where we invite faculty members to present on various topics relating to African American history. This year, the discussion was on African American history and the arts. And so Dr. Oh. Vassar Elong and Dr. Davenport and Dr. Thompson and Dr. Gary were presenters. Harry facilitated the discussion for us. In March, we celebrated Women's History Month with a women's leadership panel. Dr. Moore was responsible for coordinating the event. It was hosted by the Dean of the College of Social Work. Dean Johnson facilitated the discussion. Dr. Peoples, what were the two other?
Dr. Sims
and
Dr. Shalay Williams,
and presented on women and issues relating to leadership opportunities. In 2 weeks, we will host the State of Black UMSL event, where we invite administrators, faculty, staff, and students to come and, number one, celebrate our successes and then identify areas in which we feel we can improve. Mm-hmm. We access issues of recruitment, issues of retention, and any areas in which we feel fairness and equity can be at the forefront. In other words, how can we improve in areas of fairness and equity for African Americans on campus at UMSL?
Wonderful. Now, I heard you say black faculty, staff, and students. So mm-hmm. are students involved in the organization as well, or is that a separate entity altogether?
With students, I know I've invited students to the Black Faculty mm-hmm. Staff Association, the State of Black UMSL event, and okay. so we'll have representatives speaking. Historically, we've offered scholarships to students, mm-hmm. and so we've issued scholarships to recipients each year. Mm-hmm. And so students, one of our objectives is to provide financial and moral support mm-hmm. to students.
Sure.
And so that's always been a component of the organization.
Okay. And I heard you naming all of the incredible professors and leaders at our university that are part of this. It really spoke to me obviously the Black Faculty and Staff Association is to get a voice, but also to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some incredible leadership, in addition to the three of you, as faculty at the university, at our university. So I think that's wonderful. So thank you. Dr. Moore, tell us more about I'm jumping ahead of my own script. I apologize. Let's before we get to you, Mr. Harris, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the Black Faculty and Staff Association? Give us an idea of where we've come over the years, because you previously served as president of
Correct.
The Black Faculty and Staff Association. And what successes and challenges have we experienced yeah. through the years?
So I think, you kind of start off acknowledging that last year we celebrated 40 years of BFSA being in existence. And Dr. Paulette Isaac Savage on our campus does a lot of, I would say, the historian work of making sure that we're aware of the history of the organization and, you know, how it started. Many times groups like ours start when there are people who aren't feeling heard or who aren't feeling connected. And then that was a lot of the basis of BFSA starting at UMSL. So in the earlier years, not only was it there for connection and support, but it was also to lift voices up and make sure that the concerns of those voices were being heard. And, you know, much like any organization, you kind of ebb and flow on folks participating or even having the time to participate. And, you know, in a university environment, everything's always changing. You know, like we talked about earlier, buildings are changing, number of employees change, degrees, majors, all of that sort of focus can change. But having an organization that has survived in an environment for 40 years, I think it is quite an honor. And last year when we developed a gala, a number of folks worked on having this gala to really celebrate those 40 years. We brought back former employees, former, you know, presidents and exec officers from BFSA from the past, and we were really able to celebrate each other and just to celebrate the honor of the organization being around for so long. And I think a lot of work really went into that, and I think a lot of people really enjoyed it because they enjoy at the core of just being able to get together and being able to kind of have this centering of UMSL to be able to celebrate. And I think when you look at, like, when you listen to what Dr. Sterling was talking about and some of the events that were going on, one thing that you keep hearing her say is doctor and doctor and doctor. Yes. And the good thing about that is, and one of the core things about BFSA is the representation. We know representation matters, and we know that it's great for us to see others like us achieving. And that's one of the things that I know that I was trying to emphasize with the organization when I was president, and Antoinette continues to emphasize is the celebrations. You know, it's not always just we have a concern. It's about the celebrations. It's about when people are attaining those degrees, when they're being recognized for the great job that they do on campus, when they're getting something, their works published. Sometimes it's, you know, they found a new position, a higher level position at another school. We're sending them off. We're celebrating with them. So I think that's an important core part of what BFSA is, not only to just bring forth the concerns, which over the years there have been a number of concerns, but also to celebrate with everybody those accomplishments and those achievements that have happened.
That's fantastic. I remember vividly one day I just happened to be walking into the Ed Kalabatat over on our side of campus, and there was a Black Faculty and Staff Association meeting taking place. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was there. I was going in. My office actually used to be in there. And I walked in and I saw the entire floor just packed with faculty and staff. And when I realized what that was, I was blown away. Not that there were so many there, but there were everyone that was there was just clearly passionate about what they are doing here and passionate about making an impact and passionate about having a voice and being heard and making this a better place, which obviously it does. So
and that's the thing too, is that we have members all across the campus who are participating. So, you know, we have our doctor friends who are teaching some of our classes. We have some of our staff members who are out there putting on programs. We have some of our maintenance workers, some of our janitorial staff will sometimes come out who are helping to keep all the gears and everything, the day-to-day life running for this campus. So for everybody to be able to kind of come together in one area from all the different backgrounds across campus, that it's such an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now, Dr. Moore, I apologize for earlier. I definitely want to hear more from you about, as the Vice President of Staff, I got that right, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit more about what we can look forward to in the future for the Black Faculty and Staff Association. Where do we go from here, and where do we go in the future?
Yeah, so the Black Faculty and Staff is really excited about the upcoming the State of Black. And the theme for this upcoming State of Black is the AMSA State of Black is, you know, celebration, empowerment, togetherness, and growth. And that really sums up what my colleagues Harry and, Dr. Antoinette Sterling are also talking about, you know, what are we looking for in the future. We our goal is to continue on with that same theme and looking for, you know, opportunities to still be engaged and involved here on campus. You know, our goal is to continue to assist students towards a successful matriculation, and especially students who are first generation students who need resources, but also students of color who, you know, need that space to feel that they belong here on campus. So that is our goal, to continue to build that, to continue to build AMSO as a welcoming university where all students are able to thrive, but also find a connection, love learning, and also provide support, you know, through our partners like, you know, Harry Harris, who is also just like us advisors. You know, we are passionate about student success, but we're also passionate about student services as well. So again, that is part of our goal for this upcoming next year, continue to succeed, continue to meet the university's mission, you know, in terms of student success, in terms of, you know, improving access, and in terms of, you know, diversity and inclusion. And also, in next year, our goal would continue to be, you know, what we have been, which is serve as advocate for Black faculty and staff in matters related to, you know, employment, tenure, fair treatment, and access to opportunities as well. So we are going to do a lot of different things here on campus, you know, provide a forum for opportunities for faculty to, you know, present their research, but also forum for, you know, professional development, you know, for faculty and staff, just like we did this last year, you know, through lecture series, which gives faculty and staff an opportunity to present their work as we celebrate their work as well, but also for everyone here on campus, you know, programming such as the Women in Leadership Development, those are also important for everyone to continue to learn, but to also support each other as well. So those are the things that we are, you know, gearing up for next year as well. Mm-hmm. You know, through welcoming events such as, you know, the Welcome Mingle, again, those provide the opportunities to welcome new Black faculty and staff here on campus, but also gives us the opportunity to start off with, you know, with a good mindset. I mean, starting off at the right foot, you know, with really just looking forward to what the year will bring for us. So again, we're looking for those type of things, continue to celebrate everyone's achievement here at AMSO, continue to look for, you know, opportunities for scholarships, and of course, you know, student retention and student success. Those are the heart of our work, but also why we're here at AMSO as well. So again, we're looking to be part of, you know, the AMSO community in helping this institution achieve its mission and its goals as well. So that's what we're here for.
Wonderful. Thank you. It sounds very exciting. There's a lot of neat things in the future in store, so that's wonderful. Before we wrap up, I want to give you all a chance to just share anything else that's on your heart relating to your own journey, your role here at UMSL, the Black Faculty and Staff Association. So just give you a chance to share with our listeners whatever you would like to conclude with. So Dr. Sterling, let's start with you.
Well, what comes to mind right now is a quote by Frederick Douglass, and it's posted on our website, and it says something to the effect, without a struggle, there can be no progress. And I think that that still reigns true today. This summer, I had an opportunity to visit Washington, D.C., and I took a tour, an African-American tour, and on my tour bus, we passed by Frederick Douglass's house.
Wow.
And it sits on a hill. Mm-hmm. And so that Frederick Douglass, the great orator, mm-hmm. The words that he spoke over right 100 years ago still rings true today. And so through unity, through discussions, we can make progress, mm-hmm. and we are pressing forward, and we are hopeful about and optimistic about the future. We have to be.
Good. Do you feel like we are making progress at UMSL?
Yes, I do. Good. Yes, I do. In terms of student success, in terms of recruitment of faculty and staff, we do have challenges, but
yes.
I feel we are making progress. I'm an eternal I'm an optimist.
Good.
So I believe we are making progress.
Good.
I've worked on campus for 18 years.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there's room for growth just like anywhere, but I'm encouraged to hear you say that. Dr. Moore, would you like to share anything else to conclude our time, and anything else you'd like to share about your role or about the Black Faculty and Staff Association?
Oh, I am just honored to be alongside with my colleagues here, you know, through the Black Faculty and Staff, but as everyone has just shared with you today. I mean, all our faculty and our staff, you know, they're passionate about their work. You know, they're devoted. They devote a lot of time into their work. So I think it's important that, you know, their work, everyone's work is celebrated. So I'm just happy to be here and to celebrate all the good work that is being done here at UMSL. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Harris?
I would say that I have I've been in a little bit of a reflective state over the last week. I just recently finished a book called The Last House on the Street. And it's a suspenseful mystery kind of book, but at the core, one of the core pieces of it talked about, it takes you back into the 60s, and it takes you back to the civil rights era, and it takes you back to voting rights. And when you really stop and analyze things like that, you know, the formation of the Black Faculty Staff Association really only came about 20 years after that happened. And I don't think we give enough time and thought to what the time period was like when things like the Black Faculty Staff Association were formed, and where we've advance to on some of the steps that we've taken backwards as the years have gone by. And I think a recognition of a diverse campus and a recognition of the diverse needs that our faculty, staff, and students all have is very important to the health and growth of our university and of our region, right? If you wanna get a job, as our graduates, as we're you know, getting ready to go to graduation here in a few more mm-hmm. weeks, if those graduates wanna get a job with these major companies that are out there right now, they have to be able to interact with people who are different than them. And that's where some of the Black Faculty Staff Association events that we put on present opportunities to learn about others and to learn about people from different backgrounds, or to stop and think, like the panel that we did, to stop and think about how the arts ties into the history of blacks in our society. So, you know, it's things like that that are all linked together. And so when I read a book like that, or I hear about what's going on in our world, or when we hear the attacks on equity or diversity, I stop to think about these historical markers and where we've come, and start to think about some of the work that has gone into 40 now plus years of the Black Faculty Staff Association being around, and the excellent work that we've done over the years to help promote our campus. We've had some incredible faculty and staff who have come on and become members of the organization, and who have really helped to improve the environment of our campus overall for our students and our well-being. So all of that, kind of a little bit of rambling there, but it all ties back into what the mission of the formation of this group was, and where we've gotten to 41 years later with it. It really makes me stop and think sometimes.
This has been a great show to stop and think about a lot of things. And I really appreciate you sharing your heart, not just for UMSL, but for the Black Faculty and Staff Association, and your leadership means so much to our campus. I can't thank you enough for that work you do, because clearly UMSL is such a unique place, and the more I meet and get to know our faculty and our staff, the more I know that it's not just about UMSL. It's about the people. It's about making UMSL a place that celebrates who we are as people. And the work you're doing just makes all the difference in the world. So I can't thank you enough. Dr. Antoinette Sterling, Dr. Julie Moore, Mr. Harry Harris, thank you so much for being guests on Triton Talk today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been
us.
A pleasure.
I am honored that you chose to join me today for the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. I hope you'll join me next time. Till then, I'm David Stouffer. Thank you for the work you do. Never forget, you are making a difference every day.